Welcome to The Big Picture with your host, Harrison Newton. Hit the subscribe and share the word.
Aloha, everyone. Welcome back to the Big Picture Podcast. With me today, I have Nick Jacoby and Alana back, the podcast couple.
Thanks for having us.
Aloha, Harrison. Thank you so much for having us. Good to be back.
It is good to be back. And what I wanted to talk to you guys about today is one thing that not many Kiwis has actually done, and that's drive around the East Cape of New Zealand. And so it's real interesting. The East Cape is where Gisborne is, essentially. It's that if New Zealand was an upside-down boot, it's the heel of an upside-down boot. And it's just so untapped. So I'm looking forward to sharing the secrets with the listeners today.
Yeah, there's a few secrets out there.
And I guess the first secret isn't a secret. It's that not many tourists or anyone go that way. So, yeah, I just wanted to trade East Coast stories with you today. So what was your journey around the East Cape like?
Oh my gosh, it was like nothing else we've ever done in New Zealand. We've done quite a lot of travel around New Zealand over the last few months, but East Cape was our sort of final trip because it's just so untapped and so amazing that why wouldn't you? But I do think that quite a few people are now going there.
Because of COVID, it's starting to pick up, but I think we went before it's cool. And I say it's such an incredible place to live because it is so unique in the sense that it is an absolute time warp to a different New Zealand in a different time.
Absolutely. And I think when you recommend a fun place for internationals, you instantly say Queenstown, Wanaka, the easy wins. And that's similar.
The easy wins.
Yeah, it's an easy pleaser. And that's similar for a New Zealander because we've got limited time to travel our own country. And a lot of people choose the easy wins themselves. And I think what's happened with COVID is people were wanting to dive a little bit deeper into their own country. And that's why East Cape is becoming a little bit more popular and interesting for people. It's a bit more of a destination now.
I wouldn't quite call it a destination. I would call it more of an adventure.
Yeah.
Because you really are adventuring around the East Cape. Well, if you're going from Auckland, it starts from Auckland and then you go to...
Well, it starts at Whakatane, Opanakia, Hopi.
Yeah, sorry. So the East Cape starts at Whakatane and wraps all the way around to Gisborne, but it just rides that coastline, doesn't it?
Exactly. I think all up it would take only 6 hours to drive non-stop, but in our travels we took our time about a week to get around.
Wow, and that's what me and my mum did. It took us a week to get around. So as people know by now, when I got made redundant, I went on a road trip and I didn't expect, but we enjoyed it so much, we were there for 7 days. And what was interesting is all the Captain Cook stuff, because that's where that bloke first came along and checked it all out. So what was your guys' view as you drove through it all?
Oh, it was just such a unique place and such a down-to-earth, humble living, I think. And noticing, you know, there's no takeaway shops, there's no KFC, there's no Subway, there's literally nothing but just Foursquares. And it, like for me, the biggest part that I notice is that everyone's cooking food, you know. I think it's quite easy to, in the cities, you just sort of, you can go get takeaways, it's almost cheaper than buying food. But there, you've literally got a tiny little Foursquare. And people are fishing.
It creates a community.
Oh, totally.
Because there is only a few shops to hang around. And sorry, just like you were going to say, they're fishing, they have a veggie garden.
Yeah. And people, and I can imagine, you know, people sharing food, you know, you cook for your neighbours. It's pretty down to earth. But it's nice. It's got a totally different vibe and experience, like, than anywhere else we've ever been.
I know, and I thought it is one of the most uniquely New Zealand experiences. And I guess a good reference for that is the movie Boy.
Yes, and Whale Rider.
But
I think there's so many other movies that have been filmed there as well.
But those movies are so impactful to us as a society. That area is sort of our best point of reference from where we've sort of come a little bit.
Yeah.
And just that small townness. And for anyone listening, I highly, highly recommend the movie Boy. It was done by
Taika Waititi.
So it was a movie done by Taika Waititi. He's also moved on to doing like big movies like Thor and Jojo Rabbit. But this is his real masterpiece because It's a story of a boy who's stuck in a small town on the East Cape. And that's what it's like. There is no big city. It felt like an alien planet.
Yeah. And you think, like, how many people live there and haven't been to the big cities? You know, they're living purely how New Zealanders lived back before Auckland was huge or Christchurch was huge. You know, that's like the most New Zealand point, as you're saying, the most New Zealand, like, Māori sort of experience that you get. Yeah,
exactly. And also because that East Cape, a lot of the settlers moved in around those areas. So it's actually a real blend of cultures between, like, it worked so well. Like, we went to one of the fishing clubs. They had a competition on in the day. And then they sold all the fishes. And it was just a beautiful mix of ages and families and stuff. And me and Mum actually ended up, I bid for 3 snappers for like $20.
What?
No, I actually missed out on winning an auction. So I went, I'm like, hey, is there any fish left over? I have like $20. And he's like, oh, here you go. And he gave us 3 snapper. So there's that feel good warm. And he just cracked up. And I was like, oh, you made my bloody trip, mate. But anyway, it is that remoteness that's quite unique. And is that what you guys enjoyed about it?
It's so unique because you're driving down this tiny little town that might take you about 30 seconds to pass. And you see all these little kids like on horses and there's 2 people on a horse. They're just, you know, having like this cowboy session, like going down the road, and they tie their horses up by the skate park, go skating. They're playing on the beach, they're playing with balls. Like, it's the most physical. This is how I would love to be brought up. I would love to be riding horses everywhere.
The freedom. They still have a real sense of freedom. And like you said, I'll put up some photos on the Instagram, but everyone's just riding horseback. And, like, not even saddle sometimes.
No.
And I got a photo of a horse right outside the dairy where a girl was just talking to another girl. And it's so natural for them just to have 2 of them hop on a horse and go down the road to check out with old mate.
That's like their, you know, their food for horses is essentially their petrol. I mean, they don't even, like, they might not even have cars, you know.
Wow.
Their insurance on, you know, transport is horse food.
That's incredible. But that's where it's that real interesting cross-section, because you got all those massive positives from culture, but you did get a feeling like in Boy that they were getting lost in time, and that as our society moves forward, if they end up leaving those communities, it's such a different world. And that movie Boy was sort of about a kid stuck in a small town who had big dreams but was told not to. You know, you're in a small town. So it is a real interesting area.
Yeah, I think it'd be really interesting to understand what people are like, what their, you know, thoughts and views are about living there. Whether they, you know, they love it but they hate it and they want to get out, or do they just love it and they just think the rest of the world is living, you know, quite differently. Yes.
That's actually more it, because I think we talked before, everyone I met was lovely.
Oh, so lovely, yeah.
And so many genuine interactions, because there was a lot more confidence to talk to the other people because there's so few.
Mm.
Like, one of them, we got talking to the local school sort of health and PE teacher, and she talked on and on about, oh, we actually liked Captain Cook because we traded this with him and their priest came and did that, so just talking to this woman, she talked for half an hour about the community, about their relationship with white people and the complexities of, you know, regenerating the mangroves and stuff.
Mm.
So these people just had time and they were confident and had the energy to talk. What do you think?
No, I think you're exactly right. You know, I think they're all about connections, because they're not caught up in what I guess we could be caught up in, is, you know, social media appearances or the pressure from big cities.
Whoa.
Is where they're just totally living so purely. And I'm sure there's, you know,
there's
downsides. You never know what's behind closed doors. But I think that's a massive factor for them to just be so welcoming and, like, excited to talk to people and just all-rounded friendliness, you know?
Well, they're authentic, I'd
say. Yeah, I
feel like they really respect authenticity. And if you can talk to them on their level where you're not sounding like a snobby douchebag, like, everyone's relatable.
And I think also it's a lot about respect, because they're so proud of their land and their beginnings and where they've come from, is that, you know, if you are respectful and kind to them, they are going to give it back. But I can imagine, because they sort of live this, you know, they're quite connected to their Māori beginnings and the history about that. And a lot of other people don't know that, you know, I think that respect is a big value for them about the land. You know, you go walking on some of the beautiful, like where Cook's Cove is, you know, respect
Cook's Cove.
It's all private land that you're walking across.
Really? Yeah. That was the one I recommend everyone to do, is go to Cook's Cove.
Yeah.
So that's private land, because that's a beautiful bush down to this open grassland. Mm. And didn't they even plant crops there? So it was one of the biggest crop farming areas for the old tribe.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And then when Captain Cook came in, they did all the trading and they repaired the boat there for six days.
Yeah, I did read that.
It's so interesting. What you realise is that different tribes had different, and obviously lots of tribes, there was like horrible exchanges, but just getting back to that respect thing, I think that's a big part of it. And also it was real interesting about hapu, like sacred places, different funeral areas, and like it's a very unique culture that I didn't realize how unique it was until I went to the British History Museum, and then I saw like one on New Zealand, and I'm like, wow, we did have the best craftspeople and like absolute fucking warriors, like just in the, it's such a unique spirituality, religious side, you know, like Tane lifted the South Island up out of the ground, which was a whale, you know, like there's such a rich history and meaning behind this country that's been built out from those people.
Yeah, and I think they quite like sharing that information. We were going to walk up Mount Hikarangi, but we got cut short and had to go back to Auckland. But I saw that they're actually starting to do tours. They're doing, you know, quad bike tours up there and bringing, you know, telling people about how sacred Mount Hikarangi is, and which is good to see. You know, I think it's easy for them to just live their life and watch people come through. But for them to actually,
engage
and educate people of their land, I think is really important, which is what, you know, they're doing, which is awesome.
And that's healthy conversations, and that's what the show is about. Like some of those people, we would just have 20-minute interaction, like shout out to the best burger place in New Zealand. It was at like this corner with a beach just right in front of it and the road winding through, and everyone in the back of the utes like coming to and from the dairy.
Where was that?
Oh, it was closer. It was before the point of the East Cape, but best burgers.
Yum. But didn't get there. Yeah, turn around.
But I guess what we're trying to say in this episode is everyone should hop in a camper van and check out the East Cape, or take a tent.
We did a roof tent. That was good. That was perfect. It's all you need. But what you can do is you can spend, you know, one full day in one little town and drive 20 minutes to the next bay, and it's just as beautiful. So you can go there and spend another day. You've got to do it really slowly, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and my mum, and I run on the beach every morning or evening. Like, beautiful beaches.
Stunning. It's just untouched, isn't it? And then we bought a fishing rod and tried to catch some fish and just asked everyone. We were like, where's the best spots? And we found the best spot and we caught two fish. We were up till like midnight fishing, but it was so good. It was you wanted to live like a local, didn't you? Like, we just wanted to catch some fish and eat it.
Oh, you guys are so cool. And I just wanted to leave on one note. It actually took me two goes to go around the East Cape. I went both trips with my mum, but on the first trip, me and mum got stuck in a town called Waihau.
Oh, yes. You got stuck?
Well, mum wanted to show me a 1930s post office, which was now a dairy.
Yes.
Which is lovely, but when I came out and I looked where we parked the camper van, and it wasn't there. And I was like, whoa, we're in there for a minute. Like, what is up? Like, and I just saw this lady across the road pointing in a direction, but she couldn't say what she wanted to say. And then I saw our camper van like roll off the road and into the ocean. And it just made it broke the water. It was like,
You're joking.
And it got, washed out to the end of the wharf.
Your whole camper van.
Yeah, I had to calm my mum down, and then we had to go, and this is that East Cape community. We thought we were the only ones there, but within 2 minutes, there was a bloody tractor there with a bunch of blokes ready to help pull us out. And then more and more people showed up, and I'll post some photos about it on the Instagram as well, because like it was incredible pulling a useless camper van out of the ocean with a team full of just people who wanted to come help. So I think that sums up the East Cape.
That's a funny story. I didn't even know about this.
Hectic,
is the camper van okay? Like what happened?
Nah, it was a write-off. So you had absolute write-off.
How did you get out of East Cape? There's no taxis.
Yeah, great questions. We had to sleep in it that night. So we went to the pub with all the people who helped us, and we bought them drinks. And then we had to sleep in the camper van. Luckily, the camper was quite buoyant, so it didn't reach our bed level.
My gosh.
But yeah, and then we got a 9-hour truck drive back to Tauranga. With a bloke and just a truckie, and we bonded big time.
My God, that is the best story. So what happened? Did you leave the parking brake off?
Yeah, my mum left the parking brake off.
Easy done. Easy done.
And don't worry, we ended up getting a full replacement one. So
replacement camper van
from insurance, because she might have put the parker up a little bit. Who knows? like it still covers you from doing that. So thanks for coming on, Alana. This has been a great convo, and I couldn't have done it with anyone else.
Oh, it's okay. That was a great finishing story. I still can't get over that.
Cheers, everyone. Thank you for listening to the show, as always, and keep sharing it with people, because that's how it's growing. I'm realizing that advertising sucks, but just telling your mates about it, and some people who are into podcasts, obviously it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I look forward to sharing more stories with you guys soon. That was a great episode.
That was The Big Picture. Hit the subscribe and share the word.